Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Second Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto David my servant, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee, whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee, that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods? For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Obviously, this is one of those chapters where we might draw out perhaps 50 or 60 sermons. So when we come to the beginning of this chapter, we have a desire that David has within his heart, right? Verses 1 through 3. David desires that his situation, although he has reached perhaps the pinnacle of that he could reach as king, all of his enemies have been subdued before him. He has built himself a house of cedar, a palace. He is the undisputed monarch of Israel, and the enemies of God have been subdued. And so as a king, that's really about as good as it gets. But notice that for David, that was not enough. Not enough in a covetous way, but in a good way. David says, behold, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the Lord dwells in a tent. And so notice that David's outward estate was for him not sufficient when it was at its zenith, but that there was yet work to be done that had to do with the worship of God. And so we see the wonder then of this greatness of heart of David, that there should be something beyond the greatest of a great estate that a king could enjoy. His desire is a good desire. He pursues on behalf of the glory of God and the good of his people, that they might have a place to come to worship the Lord that is indeed grand and befitting the name of God in that church under age. And so David says to Nathan, I think I want to build the Lord a house. And Nathan says to him, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Well, we find out as the chapter progresses that perhaps the Lord is not with David in this desire, that it is not David that is going to build a house. And it is an interesting thing as you watch this play out over the course of the rest of these accounts, whether they are historical accounts or they're written, for instance, in 1 Chronicles 17. Because what happens is, number one, we hear from Solomon when Solomon actually builds that house. Now, the Lord said to my father David, it was a good desire that you had to build me a house. Interesting, isn't it, that there can be a good desire here, and we can distinguish that from the actual deed that we ought to be doing. You see, there is indeed something secret going on here. The secret that David doesn't know is that he has a son that is to come, not Solomon, but Christ, who will build the kingdom of God in an everlasting way. How could David know that? And how could David know that it was his son that was going to do that? Well, he really couldn't. And so because of that ignorance then, David's devotional desire, his pious desire to build the Lord a house, is a good desire. However, there is something that is to be criticized in it. Now let's make sure we understand this and understand it well. That when Nathan goes to his house that night and lays his head down on his pillow. The Lord comes to him in a vision, and the vision is not in agreement with what Nathan had said earlier, "Do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Certainly the Lord was not with David in the particular task of building the house that did not belong to David. And how does the Lord relate that to David? How does the Lord tell him? What is the way that the Lord chose to reveal that to David? Did he say to him, "Well, you know, sincerity is the main thing that you need, David, and you've got all of that, so you should be able to go and do what you want"? No. He didn't say that to him. He didn't say to him, "Well, David, I see the greatness of your heart, and that will wash over everything that you do, so go forward." No, he didn't say that. "David, it is a good thing that your heart is so sincere, and so please feel free to invent something of your own design for me." No, he didn't do that either. When the Lord comes to Nathan the prophet, he has something very specific to say. He says, "Take this back to David and tell him this. Did I ever ask you to build me a house? Did I ever tell you that's what I wanted?" Well, in that, there is a mild rebuke of David, is there not? The Lord says, "I never required that of you. Because I never required it of you, why would you think I wanted it? Because it's something you like. Because it's something you think I would want. But what you think I want and what I want are two different things. Please, hear me. We must not worship God according to what we think is right. We must worship God according to what God says is right. We must follow the commands and counsels of the Lord. We must regulate," that's the historic term we've used, "we must regulate our worship according to the commands of Scripture. We must look for those things that God has required of us to do. Otherwise, we will receive the rebuke of the Lord that we see in Isaiah chapter 1, which is what? Who hath required this at your hand?" Is it a pious desire? It is. And the Lord acknowledges that it is a pious desire. Your heart may be in the right place, David, but your execution is faulty. Now, what do you think David's heart is regarding this command? In other words, there may be times as the people of God where we are ignorant of what the Lord desires of us, how we should serve Him. David was ignorant at this point as to how he should serve the Lord, and so he let happen to him what often happens to us: "I'll go forward with this idea." And the Lord says to him what? "Did I ever ask you for that?" Once the Lord says to us, "Did I ever ask you for that?" Where does our heart take us then? What does that same heart that David had to serve the Lord do when he hears from the Lord, "Did I ever ask you for that?" "No, you'd never ask me for that. What was I thinking?" Isn't that what the best heart wants? Isn't that what the great heart wants? The great heart wants to do whatever it is that the Lord has commanded. And upon finding out that the method the Lord has worshipped is by His own revelation to us, then that great heart no longer pushes forward inventing worship designs, but says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And so what do we hear of David? David not only says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." David doesn't say it like this: "All right then, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I don't get to do what I want, huh?" So often, there are those who submit to the ordinances of God with regard to worship, but they do so with hearts that are pinched. What does David say in this chapter? What is his example to us? He says, "This is my blessing. This is all my desire. This is indeed what the Lord has for me, and how could it be any better? And so, Lord, bring thy word to pass, because thou hast spoken it." I don't need to build that house. I'm content to have my son build it. And so, I will do everything within my power to set him up so that he might build it. And that is indeed what we find David doing here. So he prays in response to the word of the prophet that the Lord would do all that he has said. We find a joyful submission to the will of God in how he will be worshipped and how his house will be built here on the part of David. That's what we should look for in our own hearts. The first thing we look for is a heart to serve the Lord, like David had. The second thing we look for is a heart to serve the Lord rightly, like David had. The third thing we look for is a heart of joy in that right service toward the Lord, like David had. Notice that the word covenant is not used in this chapter. We don't hear the word covenant used with in connection with David until Psalm 89. And Psalm 89 is that witness to the Davidic covenant and the Lord building David a house and his greater son, not Solomon, who is a type of Christ. Notice that, you know, there are some who would say, well, this prophecy here that Nathan utters is fulfilled when Solomon builds the house. Nope, that's not the fulfillment of it. That points to a greater fulfillment, to the great fulfillment that the Lord spoke of here. Solomon is simply a type. And when we get to our point in 1 Kings where we see Solomon enter into the monarchy, we're going to see some things said about Solomon that cannot apply to Solomon. They are much greater than Solomon. And we're going to see that Solomon is the wisest and richest and most wonderful king that Israel ever had, perhaps one of the greatest kings of all time in all of history, is exalted to such an extent, to such an estate, because he is a type of Christ, to teach us of the greatness of Christ's kingship. So then, we have this prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ that it is he who would build that house. Listen to what is said about this great commitment, this covenant that the Lord enters into here with David. We hear of the greatness of the monarchy, the appointment of a place for the Lord's name to dwell, the gathering of the people of God to that place, protection from all of their enemies. The Lord will build this house for his king. The seed of David will be established as king forever. The one that will build that house is of the Lord. He will be known as the Son of God. He will be chastened with rods. And did not our Lord Jesus Christ take the chastening of his people? He shall ever partake of the mercy of God in covenant faithfulness, and the house of David will be established forever in him. All of those things are said in this passage. And so what is David's response? Well, a lesser man would have been puffed up. What does David say? Who am I? And what is my house? What can David say more? And so we hear David's humility, first of all. Secondly, we hear that his mouth is at once filled with praise. Thou art great, O Lord, there is none like thee. The uniqueness of Israel is based upon the grace of God in election, the people whom thou hast chosen, David says. And then he says, let thy name be magnified. And then we have, finally, the faith and confidence of David. And that's how the passage ends, as David submits himself unto this wondrous covenant that the Lord made with him. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Samuel chapter 7.